Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Wired. Everybody locked in right now as the sports world continues to move fast and furious. We have announcements in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks. We have players being released as we get up to the cut deadline already on Saturday in the NFL. And we have hiring news out of the National Basketball Association. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike were presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Jhené, the big news coming out of the association, Steve Nash, Hall of Fame point guard, hired by the Brooklyn Nets to be their next head coach. And while he comes into this with no concrete coaching experience, hasn't been a coach on anyone's staff, and certainly hasn't been a head coach, we know the wealth of knowledge he brings from being a player, as well as the relationships that govern all this, seem to be why he's the man now.
Yeah, the question is, how do you translate that wealth of knowledge to immediate success when you have talents such as Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? And I think there are a lot of like split reactions here. One, people are happy that Steve Nash, who has been active, you know, we haven't seen it with the lights on, but when the lights are off and people are working out in the summertime or throughout the course of the season or need someone, a trusted ear, he's been that guy for so many people in the league, particularly in Golden State with Kevin Durant and also just over the course of the last few years with Kyrie Irving. So to me, this hire makes sense because if you look at the criteria for the hire, it was number one, relationships. Who would have the respect of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving? That was number one. Everyone said who would be able to check the stars. And the reason why the stars would be able to listen to him is because they respect him. Now, the question is, I have only heard nice things. Like, I would love to hear from teammates. And I think we're going to get Quentin Richardson soon that can sort of talk about, will Steve Nash be able to get on you? Or can he be, you know, the happy guy that sort of keeps everything in balance when you're in a high pressure system? That's going to be really interesting to see what his style will be coaching, but I do think a lot of people are looking at the climate we're in today and how someone with no experience, that is white, can get a job. In my opinion, like, Steve Nash has been a tremendous ally. He's always spoken on the side of his teammates and just his fellow citizens and community members, and he's really, I think, earned the trust of a lot of people. So I wouldn't put it more on Steve Nash because he wanted the job and he was granted it, and the people that co-signed it were two black men, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We're not saying that that is officially what happened, but we'd imply that this would only happen with their blessing. And so it is a very interesting space to be in, especially now, but I'm more so happy for Steve Nash just because I'd love to see him get an opportunity where they've gone big in Brooklyn, getting these two major free agents, and then now they're going big in coaching, which basically is putting the league on notice, saying we're going to try to win a championship now rather than later.
Yeah, it's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And Stephen A. Smith was one that brought up earlier the idea of this looking like a situation that reeked of white privilege. And he said the same things, very complimentary of Steve Nash. I think everyone, by and large, seems to have positive reviews of Steve Nash, the person, Steve Nash, the ally, Steve Nash, the player. I can understand a bit the frustration from Stephen A. in the fact that it's less about him being good or bad or supportive of the cause and more just, this is what tends to happen. People go with who they know. Sean Marks and Steve Nash have known each other for about 20 years now. They played together. They've, you know, they've been around each other for so long that it's that idea of the familiarity that often is the reason people get jobs. The relationships that you mentioned, often the reason that people get jobs, seem to skew overly white more so than their black counterparts in that, which I can definitely see as frustrating. Even in this instance, we all see Steve Nash likely someone who, yeah, makes sense in this role.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that is a frustrating part. You never want to see that be one of those things where it's who you know, and especially in those corporate environments, who you know tends to look like you. But in this instance, I'm giving more deference to the fact that it was two black men that wanted this white man as their coach, in the sense of KD and Kyrie, I'm assuming is the number one reason why a hire would have been made. But you bring up a good point also. You don't know what you don't know. So if this was a process of we both like him and this is the only guy for us, this is where it gets complicated because I know we're going to switch over to football soon and there's the Rooney Rule that has not been in great in application, great in theory, but not great in application. You don't know what you don't know. So if you don't interview people that are willing and deserving, such as what, the Mark Jacksons of the world, you know, Sam Cassells, there's a lot of people out there, Ty Lue and everyone else. If you don't interview them, you don't know that you might just like them just as much and they deserve a shot. And so that's the problematic nature here. But again, I, I don't know the situation in the sense that I wasn't there with those guys in that moment where they decided this is what they needed to do. Did they have a deliberation? Did they talk to all these other coaches? We hope that we live in a society where that happens before we see a hire. But until the facts of the matter come out, you know, it makes sense for what these stars wanted in this moment.
It's a difficult situation to process. Jacques Vaughn, another one that people thought, since he was on staff already there, might have been a candidate for it. They retain him as now the highest paid assistant in the NBA. You mentioned the NFL, though, and we had big news out of there in the last couple of days as well. News that seemed to resonate more with everybody else. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers picking up Leonard Fournette, the former Jacksonville Jaguars first round draft pick at running back there after he was released the other day. And Chiney, a lot of people looked at this one, and we already are getting the Patriot effect, or really, I guess we can call it the Tom Brady effect down in Tampa Bay, where now every move they make, Leonard Fournette, who was questioned for his production, being a bust as that top pick, all these different things, now looked at and people are going, man, it's Super Bowl or bust in Tampa Bay. After that signing.
It's kind of cool because we sort of saw this in its previous iteration with New England in the sense that, oh, who's going to get Cam? And it ends up being New England. And now the next, you know, guy on the list, Leonard Fournette, who's going to get Leonard? And it's now going to New England's former quarterback in Tom Brady. But this is interesting to me because obviously a lot of people are saying he's like a traditional back. And if he can live up to the potential of being that fourth pick in the draft, then this is going to be a great look for Tampa. It can only help Tampa, a super talented team. But my question for you is just, you know, we heard about what was following him, the reason why he had to leave before, with the nature of like what was coming out of the locker room. In my opinion, I feel like that won't stand because you're leaving a completely different scenario. Like now you're with an all-time great, the greatest of all time. And a lot of the things that would slide in one environment probably won't slide in Tampa. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think when you look at the situation in Jacksonville, while it's easy to look at Leonard Fournette and label him a problem child and all this, we clearly see there were a lot of very good players that did not seem to want to continue their career in Jacksonville, whether that was associated with Tom Coughlin, who's no longer there. Certainly there seems to have been some disagreement. Who knows what the future looks like for Doug Marrone. It was more volatile overall coming off that 2017 season where they almost went to the damn Super Bowl. And now you're right. You go there, it's Bruce Arians, it's Tom Brady, it's Gronk, it's all of this stability and accomplishment in one spot. And you're coming over there now as a reclamation project, really. You're someone that they're excited about there. Leonard Fournette had 72 receptions last year, a career high for him, and something that can be an advantage there. He's averaged 5 yards a carry on third down since 2017. He's one of only 10 players to do that. So there are ways he can help, but they've got comparatively less invested in you now because you're not their former fourth overall pick anymore and all this. So, yes, to answer your question, I really think it's going to be a different Leonard Fournette because it's a different environment overall in this.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, too, because earlier in the week we heard Gronk talk about, man, Bruce Arians, he's a little bit more confrontational than I thought. And I feel like in this situation, it would really help a guy like Leonard Fournette, you know, especially try to find that rhythm and discipline for him to be successful. So I will keep my eye on Tampa. Was that Katie Nolan?
Tampa Bay. In this one. And it's interesting, Chiney, because we got that news. We also got the news that Josh Gordon, it looks like, is going to re-sign with the Seattle Seahawks, a team that he spent 5 games with last year. Obviously, we know Josh has had his own battles off the field. In a lot of the past, it has been suspensions due to marijuana-related issues with Josh, and now it looks like he is going to get another shot with Seattle. And all things considered, when you look at the nature of the position and where they're going, that familiarity with the franchise, even though in 5 games he wasn't ultimately super productive for Seattle, I think this could end up being the far more impactful signing. We've seen a higher ceiling from Josh Gordon on his best day as a player. He's going to a place where he's got a great deal of familiarity in an offseason that's unlike any other, and he just plays a position that's comparatively more impactful than the running back position in 2020. So for all those reasons, it seems like that could end up being the one that, when push comes to shove, and it has to be things going right for both, winds up being the more impactful signing.
So I think this is also interesting in the sense that, you know, there are so many issues that require leadership, whether it is coaching or even player leadership. But I don't know. Tell me if this is a hot take. You know, I don't like hot takes, but I'll give you a few. I feel like this could possibly be one of those stories that could be the sweet spot of Roger Goodell, because this is his sixth, I believe, suspension since 2013.
Yep.
And you know, for so long, I feel like when these things happen, there are a lot of stigmas, or you have owners that sort of protect people from these situations and allow those guys to not really address the issues that they have. With Josh Gordon, I feel like there's been a nice grace with him and a patience with him, not just from Goodell, to make sure that this guy is someone that he's looked at. You know, he doesn't fall in the blind spot. And also with Pete Carroll. So tell me if that's true or not. But I feel like this is kind of a sweet spot for them in the sense that they're really trying their best, hopefully, to rehabilitate his career.
Absolutely. I think everyone wants to see Josh Gordon succeed. I think looking at the nature of what he's dealt with, knowing it's something like marijuana that's been certainly decriminalized overall, but especially within the NFL, the penalties around it have lessened, the stigma around it has changed a lot. I think everyone is certainly rooting for him to first and foremost get a handle on his life situation and then hopefully see some semblance of the great football player that can be there. Lots more on that, but we started off this segment mentioning that we got a point guard turned head coach in the NBA. Coming up next, we'll talk to a point guard turned head coach on the college level here on Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
We're like an hour and 20 minutes into this show, and we still need to address at some point, and we will coming up here. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio. All this Twitter beef going on right now after these Scottie Pippen comments started coming
out.
We
have to. This was great. I had to like throw out that GIF emoji of like sitting back with my popcorn because it involves our own Richard Jefferson and also our own Scottie Pippen. And then, of course, the likely two-time MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And then now our own Jay Will and now LeBron James and all of this.
Like, wait, what? Now
oh,
I
yeah.
need to check my phone.
We have recent updates to all of this Twitter beef. So as we mentioned, Richard Jefferson, patient zero in all of this, started off saying last night that Giannis Antetokounmpo seems to be more in the mold of a Scottie Pippen right now. Before everything happened for him right now. We saw last night again, now down 0-2 to the Bucks. I'll find the Richard Jefferson tweet in question.
Oh, snap. I'm seeing the response.
So here we go. Giannis might be a Pippen. There I said it. He needs his Jordan, was the tweet from Richard Jefferson. Then Richard Jefferson talked about this, and Scottie Pippen fired back at the situation in this one. And then Jay Will went and talked about this and brought LeBron James into the fold. Then LeBron responded to all this. And through all of this now, I'm just confused, Janae. Like, what is a Scottie Pippen at this point? Who is Scottie? Like,
Scottie Pippen is Scottie Pippen. In my opinion, this is not even a thing. Like, why can't the Miami Heat just be great instead of us having to attribute this young man in the sense of Giannis Antetokounmpo into being a Scottie Pippen when that's not it? Like, that there's no correlation, in my opinion. Everyone's saying that he's probably a number two, or he can't just like figure out how to win until he's a number two with another star. Like, he's trying to figure out how to win right now by himself with a team that looks to him as number one, and he's an MVP. So we'll have to dissect this some more, because I saw LeBron's response and it was my energy.
We're going to figure out exactly who the top 10 Scottie Pippens of all time are coming up here soon. But
and they're all
first,
not Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, spoiler alert on that one. But now we're delighted to be joined on the Shell Penzo Performance Line by Memphis Tigers head basketball coach Penny Hardaway with us. And coach, we appreciate the time. Big news today that Steve Nash hired by the Brooklyn Nets to be their head coach, a point guard going to a head coaching position there, something you know an awful lot about. So I'm curious, as you've made the transition to being a head coach, what you felt like you've maybe learned the most getting on the job that differs from what you thought it might be?
Well, you know, first of all, Steve being hired by the Nets is fantastic, because he's a former MVP, very knowledgeable guy, understands the game, and you know, has great relationships with guys that are already there. And for me, it's not basketball what I thought it was going to be. The basketball is the same, but it's the compliance. It's the rules and the things that you can and can't do. Coming from the NBA, when you come down to the college level, that's really been eye-opening to me. I mean, the smallest thing is a violation. So that's been the toughest part for me.
As a point guard, what do you think that Steve Nash will bring possibly to Kevin Durant and especially Kyrie Irving?
I think Steve will bring, you know, just the understanding and the flow of the game. You know, he's a player first, coach second, so he'll be able to identify with the things that they're going through. And then in practice, he'll be able to help them with their, I mean, this might seem crazy, but their understanding of what they have and what they won't have in the game by watching film, by understanding how teams are going to play them. His knowledge as a point guard, because he's a floor leader, is going to be able to lead those guys while he's on the sideline for them.
Penny Hardaway with us here on Chiney and Golic Jr., Memphis head basketball coach. And on that level now, Coach, we know so much disruption that started in college basketball season last year. We're seeing college football try and work through a lot of things as it relates to COVID-19 and the virus right now. How are you going about this situation, and what is the plan looking like as you are now staring down a winter where hopefully we'll see basketball get played again at the college level?
Yeah, with this COVID situation, I'm handling it very carefully. I mean, you have to be. Every day we have to take our temperature. We're hand sanitizing after every situation. We are wearing masks while we're training the guys. Every morning the guys have to fill out a questionnaire of where they were the night before, who they were hanging with. If they feel ill, they call in, and then we'll have a trainer go check them out. And it's been very weird, but we know that this is the process that everyone has to go through to assure that we can move forward as a unit and as a group. And in college basketball, if everyone handles this the same way, then it's possible that we can have a season and hopefully the kids will be safe while we're moving forward.
Coach, do you think it's possible, because we've heard it floated, the idea of a bubble or a bubble-like setting for college basketball and especially for the tournament in the spring?
I can see for the NCAA tournament a bubble, but if we're going to play a season, I can see pods. Pods meaning like you can get a certain amount of teams in this conference in this city, and a certain amount of teams in another city, and then they just play those almost like playoff regular season games against one another. And then when the winners advance, then you can bring them together in a bubble for the conference and for the NCAA.
You heard it here first. Pods, I really like that idea. We're here with Penny Hardaway, Memphis Tigers head coach and also four-time All-Star. Now, Penny, we all know about the tremendous talent that you had the opportunity to coach in James Wiseman. What does he bring to the next level as he gets ready to transition?
He brings that athleticism. He sprints the floor like no other. He is a sponge. Whatever you teach him, he's going to be able to do it right away. He stressed it out to three-point range for his jump shot, so he's a grinder, he's a worker, and his ceiling is still very high. He's a kid that blossomed late, and there's nothing stopping him. I mean, he's just a kid that's just going to give whatever you need from him, he's going to give it from him. He's going to be a rim protector, rebounder, floor runner. He can score for you, and then he can stretch it out to three. So, I mean, I know I'm being biased, but I had the opportunity to coach in high school and for a half a year in college, so I know exactly what he can do.
Rim protector, rebounder, floor runner, stretch it out to three. I'm going to read some names of some teams that just might be in a certain order. We've got the Timberwolves, the Warriors, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Cavs. Where do you think he can sort of fit in kind of best? What team do you think could really use his talents?
Any team could use his talent. You know, I saw him as the number one pick before the lottery came about. And I know they already have Cat, Carl Anthony Towns, but he and James together, you'll never be able to get a duo like that again. I'll respect LaMelo and Anthony Edwards and those kids because they're very phenomenal. But James Wiseman is like a unicorn, man. He's very unique. It's hard to pass up on him.
I can certainly see why, as you mentioned, we've all seen those gifts on display and look forward to watching them go to the next level. Coach, we appreciate the time and all the insight. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road as we hopefully get ready for a great college basketball season this year.
Thanks, Penny.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Memphis Tigers head basketball coach Penny Hardaway with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, coming up next, we'll head back to that Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, talk to our next guest about not only who helped pay for the pillars in his house, but also what a new pillar on offense might look like for the New England Patriots. That's all next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr.
He's
on ESPN
rich.
Radio and ESPN2.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Lots of news out of the NFL. Cam Newton, officially your starter for the New England Patriots. Ha ha, Clinton Dix, safety for the Dallas Cowboys, now on the way out of town there. And lots more. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiney Agwumike here with you guys. And Chiney, you got to be feeling pretty good about this. The other day you mentioned on the show that while you are Houston's very own, you are all things Texas, that the Patriots looked like an intriguing side team. And so now that Cam Newton officially the starter there, it seems like it's all systems go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because what will happen when they hit their first form of adversity? That's what I'm waiting for, because right now everything's roses and smells great and Bill Belichick is espousing so many great positive things about Cam. Now we'll see when adversity hits, and I think that's what Cam Newton is waiting on. He's waiting for that. Like, we've seen the gospel music and warm-ups. He's waiting to sort of make a name for himself again, and I look forward to that opportunity. So, yes, they are still my side piece NFL team this year.
Still the side piece NFL team. I'm waiting to see a double clap from Bill Belichick in warm-ups next to Cam Newton, and then I'll know we're really in a different era for both sides. We've seen the Patriot effect work its way down to Tampa Bay as well with Tom Brady and company. So it's been very interesting in that regard. And I don't think anyone's surprised by what we've seen with Cam Newton being named the starter. Pretty much as soon as he signed there, most people said, well, Jared Stidham, and people have been talking very nicely about him during the offseason. It's just hard to replicate the experience that comes from a guy who's a former top overall pick, a former MVP, and while he's been a little bit banged up lately, he's still Cam Newton on his best day, and Jared Stidham, especially in this abbreviated offseason, was going to have a hard time unseating that.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool when you delve into this whole quarterback situation now after, you know, we're in a transition period, and a lot of the, I guess you can say, criticism or limitation of the Patriot offense was like, oh, there's not enough talent around the quarterback. Now, you have a different quarterback, a different looking quarterback in Cam Newton, and basically what he's able to do physically and run the ball and that type of stuff. So do you think that this actually might be, are they primed or poised to have more success? Obviously, this is a transition considering the bar is a little bit lower now that Tom is gone. But do you think that they could really be a surprise success so far, looking into the season that starts next week?
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, is it's so soon, and it's all felt like it snuck up on us so much. Cutdowns are coming this weekend. We're already seeing some of those roster transactions being made. As we mentioned, Clinton Dix being released by the Dallas Cowboys today in a way that's going to have a lot of people thinking very Earl Thomas thoughts down there, the open flirtation that's been going on in that relationship for a while. But Cam said it on the way in. Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator, is going to be able to do things he was never able to do with Tom Brady. The problem is, we saw when it came to the COVID-19 opt-outs, no team was hit harder by that than the New England Patriots. And so it's a situation where I still question the amount of talent around him, but there is no question that Cam Newton, if healthy, is going to be able to mitigate a lot of that. We saw him do it at the college level and certainly at times in Carolina. To go for more on that inside the New England Patriots building, we're delighted to be joined by ESPN NFL analyst Damian Woody on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. And Damian, you got the most famous house pillars in America. Mike Tannenbaum giving you the shout out earlier today, man. I know we don't have you on video right now, but are the pillars somewhere around here?
Oh, they're all surrounding me. I'm surrounded by pillows right now. So I'm, I'm surrounded by royalty. I'm surrounded by royalty over here.
Royalty and well-earned with those hands, and well-earned partially because of your time as a New England Patriot there. We get the announcement, Cam Newton, the full-time day one starter now for that team. Any part of that surprising to you, Damian, or is this business as usual?
Not surprising at all. I mean, I was just shocked when you would hear whispers from people saying, oh, man, you bet. I don't know if Cam Newton's going to beat out Jared Stidham. And I'm just thinking to myself, wait a minute, hold on. What are we talking about here? If Cam Newton is healthy, there is no way in hell that Jared Stidham is going to compete with Cam Newton. Have you guys seen that guy out on the football field? So none of this is surprising, and I think obviously – the comments that you heard from Bill Belichick, I think he did with SiriusXM, just exalting all types of praise on Cam Newton as far as his work ethic and, you know, what he has brought to the organization on and off the field. It just, you know, just pulls back the curtain that, you know, as far as what type of player Cam Newton is and has always been.
Now, Woody, switching from Patriots of the present to Patriots of the past, Leonard Fournette lands in Tampa, joining Tom Brady. Are we saying Super Bowl too soon? Because I've seen that headline, and everyone's like, oh, they have all the position talent everywhere. Are we saying Super Bowl too soon, or what are the realistic expectations for the Bucs right now?
Well, listen, now, we've heard this whole dream team scenario before. You know, back in 2011, Vince Young, you know, was famous for hollering dream team. When he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, and that turned out to be a disaster. But what I will say is, you know, on paper, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're legitimate. I think they're a legitimate team in the NFC to compete for a Super Bowl coming out of that conference. When you got Bruce Arians, one of the best head coaches in the National Football League, you know, running his ship, and obviously Tom Brady, what more can we say about the GOAT, you know, down there in Tampa? And then surrounded by a cast of very talented players on both sides of the football. I know we've talked you know, most people have talked exclusively about the offense and the weapons that they have on that side of the ball. But don't forget, this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, led by defensive coordinator Todd Bowles, this is a defense that finished very strong last year and finishes one of the best defenses in the National Football League. This is a team that, you know, if they put it all together, they're going to be a tough team to beat in 2020.
Damian Woody with us, our ESPN NFL analyst, and everyone's got eyes on that situation in Tampa Bay. But Damian, there might be another situation that we've been looking at for a while. HaHa Clinton Dix, it looks like, is going to be on his way out, safety that was with the Dallas Cowboys. Are we feeling an Earl Thomas union here finally after all this open flirtation?
Listen, when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, you never know what you're going to get. And this was kind of a peculiar situation because they had just signed HaHa Clinton Dix this offseason, I think $3.5 million, and all of a sudden they just dropped him. So you never know what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do. But listen, it makes a lot of sense. Earl Thomas is from Texas. He's always wanted to play for the Dallas Cowboys, and anytime you see these type of transactions happen, there's always going to be some type of speculation about Earl Thomas and the Dallas Cowboys.
Damian, I'm curious, based on how just peculiar, want to talk about peculiar, Earl's departure from Baltimore and the seemingly bad blood at the end of that after a practice fight, as someone who was a leader in locker rooms, would you have any sort of worry about bringing Earl in knowing the way that he left Baltimore?
Well, I think, you know, I would have some reservations because you got to understand, you know, he left the Seattle Seahawks organization on bad terms, apparently, and then all of a sudden he leaves the Baltimore Ravens organization on bad terms. So you're talking about two, you know, pillar franchises in the International Football League, and a player has been kind of jettisoned in a short period of time from both those organizations. So that would, to me, that would be kind of a head scratcher. So if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm doing all the due diligence I can because you don't want to mess up that locker room chemistry.
Certainly don't, as that team also high expectations going into the season with Dak Prescott on that franchise tag. Big man, always appreciate the time and insight, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Woody.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
Damian Woody, our ESPN NFL analyst. All right, coming up next, we finally got to get to the bottom of this. What exactly is Scottie Pippen anymore? We go straight into the heart of the Twitter beef that took over the NBA last night, this morning. Scottie. Am I Scottie Pippen? Are you Scottie Pippen?
No. Yeah, you are. We all are. You get a Scottie in my Oprah voice. Yeah, you know, Oprah Winfrey.
We'll figure out who the hell else is Scottie Pippen next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast.
I can't tell you if Scottie knows or not, but I can tell you I sure as hell don't know. Chinay, you're a Texas girl through and through. Do you remember back in the day that old Visa commercial with Emmett Smith talking about identity fraud where everyone's like, I am Emmett Smith?
Yes, I remember that. But shout out to Cliff for finding this song. I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, you didn't even know that song existed?
No.
Oh, man. We got a lot of movie work to do with Chinay around here. I'm glad you had at least seen that commercial, as it's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, even if you hadn't seen that movie. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We got a
whole lot
to work with on that one here. We'll get to that in a little bit because this is going to be a subject for another day, sadly, on that one. But you mentioned that commercial. I want to remake that Visa commercial with I am Scottie Pippen because apparently everybody can just be Scottie Pippen if you try hard enough.
Scottie doesn't know.
I appreciate you loving the song and having no idea where it came from on this.
Nope.
It is fantastic. But you
and I didn't know where that whole Twitter beef come from. I didn't know where the Twitter beef came from. So apparently, obviously, the Bucks are down 0-2 to the Heat in the second round of the playoffs. And this begs the question because we are all awaiting Giannis Antetokounmpo to receive his second back-to-back MVP award. And so now, being the reigning MVP, about to be another MVP, and it's not like you're just giving, like, number two guy was any other guy, like James Harden, who's a scoring champion. It's LeBron James who made a very, very strong case. The expectation is really, really bubbling up on Giannis. And so now, I don't know. I feel like people are jumping into the pool of hot takes saying that Giannis is going to be a Scottie Pippen. Like, this man, let me Google his age really quick.
Well, and it wasn't just some people. It was our
25.
Our own Richard Jefferson who said that about the 25-year-old Giannis Antetokounmpo. Last night tweeted, Giannis might be a Pippen. There I said it. He needs his Jordan. So, that's already spicy in the world of hot takes in all this. But then we get a response from Scottie Pippen, our other colleague here at ESPN, that says, I'm not Giannis. I don't have back-to-back league MVPs. In parentheses, he will in a matter of days. And he's not me. The question is, who are you as a player? To which RJ then replied, Scott Burrell. Like, you can't hurt RJ with all that stuff. Here was Richard Jefferson, our ESPN NBA analyst, earlier today talking about Scottie's reply.
This is how much I love Scottie. Well, I was on the jump a couple of about a week ago, and I was like, Scottie, you know what? I've never had an opportunity because I don't really know anybody that was on that 72-win team Bulls. But how appreciative are you that we maintained your guys' record as the greatest team of all time because we beat the Warriors? And he goes, Richard, I'm so appreciative of that. And I'm like, you know what? It's an honor that you're a legend. And that's funny. I look.
And so, Chiney, it didn't stop there. Jay Williams, our other fine ESPN NBA analyst, co-host of Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, in the morning, quote tweeted RJ and said, so LeBron was a Pippen with D-Wade once. Nothing wrong with that until you get over the hump. And then LeBron responded to that. Explain to me what the bleep I got to do with this subject matter. I'm over here minding my damn business preparing for Houston. And by the way, I ain't never been anybody but my damn self, crown bleep, in all this one. You could imagine that. So this is amazing. What do we make of all this Twitter beef, Janae? Is it something, nothing, or a little bit of everything?
First, I don't know why Richard didn't go for, like, Horace Grant, because we all watched The Last Dance, and why don't you give yourself, like, a Horace Grant, at least a guy that, like, should be appreciated more, that may snitch on other people, allegedly, which you just snitched on yourself, Richard, by just trying to put things out there just for the hot take landscape. But it's okay. It's fun, because now we get to talk about Giannis in a different lens. And when it comes to Giannis, I believe Giannis is a dominant player in this league. I really do, and I think he's a number one. I mean, this guy keeps saying it every day, 30 and 14 and 6 or 7 in less minutes than he did last year. He's already done better from three than he did last year, and he did that halfway through the season. So this is a man that is improving. He went from MIP to MVP to probably MVP again. This is remarkable. So we don't have to dub him number two yet. Let him be number one, because he can go the distance in this series, and you'll say, oh, yeah, he's a number one, but we're going to react after, you know, I mean, but it is a big reaction, because if you have a guy that likely can be a two-time MVP, he should not go down 0-2 in the first two games of a playoff series in which you're playing a Miami Heat where they just simply look like they want it more than you. Sometimes talent should be able to transcend even that will. You should have that indomitable talent, and now it's we're seeing another situation where the scouting report might be played to, you know, his opponent's advantage instead of his talent, now taking the next step and him be, I've been saying it, unleashing the beast, because that's what makes you a number one, and we're waiting for that to happen. And a lot of people are seeing that as not necessarily his character, his demeanor, but I think this is where he has to force the issue, or else people are going to start calling you Scottie Pippen.
The NBA playoffs are already a weird drug in their own right. Like, they make people do crazy things. We prorate this time of year way too much in my mind, but it's what happens. It's become ring or bust. We did it to LeBron James, and now that's kind of the standard we hold to everybody else in this situation.
But I feel like it's not even Giannis' standard. It's almost like finals or bust, or like conference finals or bust.
Well,
it's a sliding scale.
I think the problem is it looks too similar to last year, right? Like, him running into the great wall of defense at the foul line in a lot of these games looks too familiar to last year. We go, all right, you know, once is an outlier, two might be starting to get toward the trend in a way that worries people.
Yeah, and this begs the question, and this is the reason why I think this is such a big year for Giannis, because at the end of this season, he could stare the Supermax contract where he can get an extension, otherwise he plays next year, and then I believe he's a free agent. So it's going to be really interesting, because if he rises to the occasion, then maybe it's more likely that he feels more comfortable staying, or else is he going to start looking around at his teammates and saying, is it more me or is it more you? But in these instances, this is where the NBA and the playoffs, you create your own destiny. You control your own destiny, unless you're the refs in a couple of matchups.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of the refs are Scottie Pippen from last night. That much, we're taking back Scottie Pippen. That is a positive around here, because I am unquestionably the Scottie Pippen of this radio show. No question.
No, not at all. We're both Jordan. Like, we just, there's a hiatus period. So I'm Jordan of, I want to be early Jordan. I want to be the savage. But you can be the later Jordan. You went and played baseball for a little while, came back and still won. So we are both Jordan equally.
All right, both Jordan equally. Also, shout out to Robin, who I feel like has gotten dissed in this situation. Scotty trying to steal and bite his swag on this one. All right, coming up next, Steve Nash, the head coach in Brooklyn. We'll try and figure out if he's going to be any good or not.